money. Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
I'm already, we've been having a conversation already in the studio
here. We've been talking all morning.
I was just going to say, Reb and I were driving into the studio. I think I'm at my word quota. So if I stop halfway through the podcast, it's because I'm out of words. Okay. Welcome to the show. This is the show where Dave and Reb talk about the hard issues of money. So glad you've joined us this
Wouldn't
morning.
Wouldn't you like to be a little fly in the wall of our lives to hear us talk about money all the time? Our children would say, no, you don't want to do that.
Can you even imagine them talking all the time about money?
So welcome to the show. Today's show, I'm going to do the we're going to jump right in, but there is some housekeeping. Of course, we want to give a shout out to you, Ray, and the good folks at Financial Discipleship Canada, notmine.ca, for some financial resources where there's all kinds of information at notmine.ca that really just goes hand in hand with what we talk about here on the podcast and what we do at More Than Enough. So thank you, Ray, for partnering with us, for sponsoring
the
show. So, and thank you for being here today in person.
Yes,
so that's great. And we do have a pretty fun show. We're not really sure. We've been talking about so many kind of different aspects this morning. And
well,
so
I would say it came out of the last show with Ray. So I don't, in July. And you said something profound, and I meant to go back and get the whole quote, and I didn't. So now, everyone, that's your little assignment after the show is over to go back. But I remember being here, and you said something, and Ray and I both went, ugh, that was probably like some wisdom deposited in our midst that was like, we took notice of.
You wrote it down.
Yeah, we wrote it down. So Ray, why don't you tell us the couple phrases that have prompted this discussion today?
I went back to my notes from the last program, and it said, Dave made this statement at some point. He said, do we create our own wonder? And then a little bit further, you said, do we believe God is holding out on us?
Well, then that's where we're going to start.
Yes. So do we create our own wonder, and is God holding out on us? So, and I'm like, okay, what scripture verses do we throw with this? So, because I was thinking about Eve, I was thinking about her in the garden and how she really was questioned by the snake. Like, did God really say? And to me, that's just another way of saying, is he holding out on you? Because he's made these promises, but is he really who he says he is? Is he really saying who he says he is? You know, all those thoughts that can come into our minds, I think, but we won't maybe safely acknowledge them because we think, well, we're Christians and we're not supposed to think that way. So therefore we don't. But in reality, we want to like take that onion layer off today, or maybe the Band-Aid that's been on there, and we're not afraid to pull it off. So it might sting a little bit if you're listening. Do you really believe who he says he is? Do you believe that he's holding out on you?
And in the context, though, of circumstances maybe indicating something different, right? You know, again, that's the
indicating that he is holding out on you. That's right, what you're saying.
Right. So, you know, again, we'll go back to Adam and Eve. And you know, the tree looked like it was good to eat. It was full of fruit. And the question comes in, well, is God holding out on you? Did he really say? Like, and you know, the snake again is just kind of putting those thoughts that, can I really trust God? Because the circumstance shows me that, well, why shouldn't I be able to eat? Like, why shouldn't I be able to take advantage
and
of
do
this
exactly trip? What I want? Right. But before we, because Ray, I'm gonna direct this to you next. But what just popped into my head was the phrase from Isaiah 61. You know, Jesus came in the temple and he said, you know, the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, mm-hmm. and he's anointed me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release darkness from darkness the prisoner, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then it goes into comforting all who mourn, providing those who grieve in Zion, to give us beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, that we may be trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And I know you guys are like, what does this have to do with what we're talking about? But this is the hope, because when we can acknowledge and take the band-aid off and say, I'm having trouble trusting you, I think you are holding out on me, we can hear Jesus whisper these words from when he was here on the earth, that he suffered greatly, but he came to give beauty for ashes. He said, today this is fulfilled in your midst. And the Pharisees got really mad at him. If you ever watch The Chosen and see that scene, I literally, in that scene when I was watching it, I was like, don't say it. Don't say it, Jesus, don't say it, please don't say it, because it's going to go badly for you. And I could cry over that. But he did say it. And he said, today this is fulfilled. I am bringing you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. So though Adam and Eve ate of the tree of that knowledge of good and evil, I am actually going to make you trees of righteousness for my splendor, for my planting. And today we want to talk about that because we are creating our own wonder. We don't trust him and we don't hear these words. We don't maybe, well, I don't feel like my life's beautiful. I don't feel like the ashes are turned to. So what do we do? And how do we press into the truth of God, of Jesus's words to us?
Okay, so is that the question for Ray?
Well, I mean, there.
I think she has another one. Well, okay.
So I say that because I want us to bring hope, like that the truth is here. This is underlying truth of God, even if we distrust it. You know, things don't look great. Like, I honestly, the other night I was up in the night and I was just crying because it feels heavy. It feels hard, like for my own circumstances or not. And then I think, am I going to create my own wonder to go avoid and escape all the hard things? Or am I taking all the weeping and tears and my lack of faith and my tiredness or whatever? Am I going to him anyway? Am I going to the truth?
You know, one of the things you said in our conversation earlier was about that sense of invitational. When I heard you reading that Isaiah 61, I felt it was invitational. He said, yeah. I have already given you this hope. I've already prepared this mm-hmm. for you. There's no way around the cross. Like you said, it's not going to go well for you when he said that. But the reality is that sometimes we have to go through the pain. He invites us to say, can you come in this place where I'm in this pain and pressured and mm-hmm. grieving and in sorrows and anxious and fearful? He wants to come into that place and give us hope. He wants to give us a new perspective. He's not holding out on us. But I think that whole sense, we get to experience him in that process.
Right.
He experienced Father in the midst of that. He experienced the people walking with them, but he knew in his heart what he needed to do. He couldn't avoid those painful circumstances. He had to walk through them. But the hope and knowledge of what would lie ahead, I think, held him steadfast.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, Ray, I mean, this is so appropriate for our conversation around money, in the sense that so often we look at it and really, our hope and our desire is that the pain will go away, that I will move from a place of financial distress to, oh, you know, now everything is okay. And yet the journey through that is where God walks with us. Mm-hmm. He you know, Jesus prayed in the garden and said, Father, take this from me. And how many times haven't we prayed a similar prayer around our finances? Lord, like, take this stuff away from me so that I can, you know, kind of experience peace or whatever the end result. And then God doesn't take it away, the cross away from Christ. He walks with Christ through that situation. And we can all, again, just drawing from all of these pieces and saying, it is his promise to us that he's walking through that with us. And these, you know, the destination is his presence. The destination is actually finding
But it's
ourselves.
The journey. It's not even the destination. Like the phrase that one of our prayer partners sent to us this mm-hmm. week was that, you know, so often we're like, well, what are we supposed to learn? Actually, we do ask ourselves that a lot, mm-hmm. like Dave and I do. What are we learning? And that's not a bad question. But what if what we're walking through, even in our finances in this season, we can actually say, how did he say that? Suffering isn't about learning. It's about experiencing God. How can I experience you, God, in my journey today? And it's the moment by moment journey, because right now folks might be overwhelmed by their money. Like, I don't know. How do we walk moment by moment, Ray, in our finances?
Well,
I'm going to ask Dave in a second.
You know, I'm thinking back, because I think sometimes then we feel like God's holding back. Yeah. He could fix this. You know, we could win the lottery, you know, a gift, an inheritance.
He parted the Red Sea.
He parted the Red Sea, that's right.
Can we have some checks in the mail?
Yes, like that. And somehow God will just resolve the issue, but it really doesn't get to the crux of the issues, typically, because we have to learn new belief systems and new patterns and responding, all that kind of stuff. But I think in the midst of it, it is experiencing God. And just as you were reading from your friend there, in the midst of the struggles, like we all ask ourselves, God, what is it you're teaching me? How do you want me to see you in the midst of this in our finances? Mm. And I think those are hard questions. Mm. Well, they're not hard questions. They're easy questions, but the response sometimes isn't easy. Because I think the Father asks us to do some things or shift our perspective. Or to make some painful choices, which aren't so easy sometimes.
So that's where I want to bring Dave in, because you are about painful choices sometimes in coaching, right? Sometimes the pile gets so big for people and it's overwhelming. And in coaching, you kind of want to, you know, deconstruct the pile or whatever.
Well,
and
in coaching, we come at it from a different perspective, because I'm not in your situation, right? So, you know, I can engage, you know, again, if Ray and I, you are in a coaching session, you're in your situation, I'm outside. I get to engage in it, but I can come at it from a different perspective. And, you know, that's the power of the coaching is that you step back and you go, okay, I get a different perspective. Maybe, you know, and one of the things that I often pray in my coaching is, Lord, what do you want me to know? And what do you want the client to know? And then what do you want me to do? And, you know, often it's one thing, you know, sometimes when I'm praying that, I hear the Lord saying, I just want you to know me. And I'm like, oh.
Okay. Wait, that sounds like a terrible, like, grunt.
There's so much to that, right?
This is so good. Should I ask? I can't coach you now, but what's behind that? That's my question.
We're not going to have a coaching today.
See, I mean, that makes, I guess, it makes us real, Ray.
We
want the answer to be clean up my finances, make the pain go away.
Yeah.
You know, if I could just get a consolidation loan, if I could just put another 40 grand, you know, the pain will go away. And for a time it does, but actually it's not changing things really. We're not seeing that. Like, that was the one thing, you know, it's a silly little thing. Well, when you consolidate and put your credit card debt on your house, when you remortgage, you still have the debt. Like, but mentally you think, oh, it's gone away. But actually, we should be putting more money on our mortgage then to help pay down that. And we don't think that way. We're just like, oh, we're just relieved until it happens again and we haven't changed behaviors. And that goes to change perspectives, right? Like, sometimes I feel, and me included, Dave, can you just tell me I can keep living the way I want to live? And we don't have to make a change, and we can do all the things. We can do all the things in the season we were doing 4 years ago on COVID. You know, I can order pizza out on Friday nights. You know, I can, you know, even though everything else is ramped up and all the other things are ramped up. No, we actually, I know it's a silly example, but we actually have to have a change perspective, which there was another thing I read this week from our friend Rebecca Southerns, and she had called it ripe raspberries. She'd been with her granddaughter, I guess, and they're like, there's no raspberries on this bush. And they walked around the bush because on the one side there was nothing. There was like, but from the other side, there was like plenty. So it was, I mean, I thought of that illustration as such a neat way of talking about our money, even like from when we're stressed, we don't see what provision's actually there.
Yeah. I mean, my brain, of course, is thinking about all of that picture saying, okay, so we have a response. If I'm standing, or Rebecca Southerns is standing next to her granddaughter, they could stand there and lament and look at the look at the lack and look at all of the things, and they could get stuck there for a very long time.
Whine and cry.
And cry and cry out to God. Yeah, and, you know, and all of those things. And yet there's this, you know, it kind of goes to what I said. And then, Lord, what do I do? Like, you have to walk around. And that's a change in perspective.
Well, which is what you do in coaching.
That also is like revolutionary to get some movement there. You know, the inertia has to start, right? And it's like, first it starts with an idea of, well, why don't we look at the other side of the bush? Like, what would make them look at the other side of the bush? I could see myself standing there going, well, there's no raspberries on that bush. Walk away. God did not provide. He is not doing what he says he will do.
He's holding out on me.
All of those things. And I quite literally could see myself walking away and going, well, that, you know, that didn't work out. Meanwhile, God is saying, you didn't walk around the bush because my provision was always there. But you needed to look at it from my perspective. And you're like, oh, like that's what jumps out to me when I hear that story.
And, you know, I was just thinking, I just wrote it down there. How do you see this, Lord? That's part of experiencing God, mm-hmm. is just being quiet and saying, okay, Lord, this is my situation. I've been whining. I've been complaining. And I keep saying, if I just could have this or this or this. But if we actually quiet and say, okay, Father, how do you see this situation?
I know, because some people are out there and like, well, I've walked around the bush and there's nothing. You know, I don't, I mean, we can't,
we don't want to take the metaphor that far.
No, but it doesn't take away that God still, you said it to me many times that lately, it's his will and his way. If this is your will, you know, if you want me to be in this business and the business is dry, Lord, what's your way? How do I accomplish the business that you've called me to and still do it in a way where I have food on the table? And we're not answering anybody's particular story today, mm-hmm. other than telling us, how, Lord, can we experience you in this instead of defaulting to, well, you're just not doing what you say. What if we defaulted to, no, you are who you say you are. You provide for your people. What am I to see that I'm not seeing? Like, what if we defaulted, like, because I default to negative things in the night, especially when I'm worried or can't sleep or I'm crying and it's like life is horrible. You get up in the morning, the birds are singing and you're like, oh, it's not so bad. But how do we do that in our finances, and how do we do it in a way that we can start pressing in and seeing that he does give beauty for ashes? We're going to talk with our niece again, Amanda, about resilience. And I said to Dave this morning, I think they're going to go kind of hand in hand with this one, because we need resilience sometimes and persevering to actually hold on to the truth of who God is, no matter what our circumstances look like.
And I think, again, you know, echoing in my mind are the words of Christ, that, you know, where he says, like, the Lord is with us. You know, his Holy Spirit has been deposited in us to walk in his way. I mean, this is the questions that we can confidently come to the Lord and say, what do I do now? I'm stuck. I think of the Israelites at the standing at the edge of the Red Sea, complaining to Moses,
God's like, what's your problem?
Stand up there,
put your stick out there and like see what'll happen. Like, I'm sure that's not his tone, but
well, that's the way I read it. Absolutely. That's the way
please,
I read it.
Right? You know, you might read it with a different tone, so don't listen to me.
But sometimes, you know, that's it. And it's like we're standing at the Red Sea and it does look desperate. And it does look like there's no out and there's no way. And then sometimes there's the miracle and sometimes it's just take the next step that you're going to go this way, you know, and you just, again, impact the things that you can impact and then allow God to say, turn left here.
And sometimes that's just one step at a time. And I was reminded of the phrase we always quote at our house. How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You don't swallow the elephant whole. And sometimes we want the change in our finances to happen all at once, right? But we can only do it one step at a time. But I'm thinking, Ray, of your story. You shared it briefly before we started recording, just like your perspective shift, you know, in the last few years.
Yes, but I was just thinking about another story. Recent story.
Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, we were visiting my family back in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. And my sister hopped in my car. I forget what we were running an errand. And she says, does your vehicle always make this sound? I said, yeah, it does periodically. And she said, you know, we had that sound and it was, we needed a new transmission. And I said, what? She said, yes. She said, I think our cousin needs to look at your car. And I said, well, we have one day left. But by evening, she had texted my cousin and they arranged for the car to go into the garage. So I bring in the garage thinking, what surprise am I going to have? So then I come back later and he said, well, the reality is he said, your transmission oil, has it ever been changed? I said, not that I know of. And he said, it's supposed to be red, but it was black. He said, the fortunate part was there was no metal shavings on the magnet. So that's a good sign. But he said, I had to flush it twice. So my hope is that it has resolved the issue. And it was like, so then it was like, okay, we'll see. But he said, it's going to take a bit because it has to work through the whole system. And I don't know, we called it tranny chatter or something this. Anyways, all this new terminology is like, okay, this is the kind of stuff. Otherwise, you have to bring it back. It was like, oh. Anyway, so I paid the bill. And it was like, I hadn't planned to spend a couple $100 on a vehicle at this point. But anyway, I thought I could complain about the finances, but for the most part, the issue's been resolved, which could have cost me significant money. And so from my perspective, I could figure out the cost of being hit by that, but the long-term cost would have been more substantive. So I was just like, Lord, thank you. Thank you. My sister stepped in the vehicle and said, there's something wrong. And that we actually got it addressed very quickly. You orchestrated, you made a way for that. He was busy, but he made opening for me the next morning to do it before we left. So I was like, God, you do look after the details. Mm-hmm. I still have to go through the frustration and inconvenience, but in the long run, you look after us.
Mm-hmm. And perspective, it's a shifting of perspective, and it's something that we each have to do. And to look up instead of down, right? You know.
So I have a question for you, Ray, in that story. How many times since that has happened have you had the thought, well, I should probably get that looked at? Not too many?
Yeah, no, I mean, I have. I asked my mechanic once upon a time and he wasn't sure what, you know. Fortunately, my cousin's, his area of specialty is transmissions.
The reason I ask that question is that so often in our lives, we get these little promptings. And we can say, you know, that could be from the Lord. And often in my own experience, I'll just talk about me, is those little promptings are actually from the Lord. And then somebody from the outside prompts.
Right.
And I often recognize the hand of the Lord in that to say, that was your sister, where she says, no, wait a minute, we got to do something about this.
That's right. And she made it happen.
As only a sister could.
You know, and again, we can see that as as a series of events or something that happens totally outside of the presence of God, outside of the direction of God. Or we can see, hey, and again, I can speak for me because I recognize myself in that, yeah, God prompts me to do some of these things and I just don't do them, or I'm caught in my context, or I'm too busy, whatever the reason is, I don't. And then somebody comes from the outside and says, hey, have you thought about doing that? And I'm like, yes, I've thought about that once or twice. And then sometimes it's red. And then I go, okay, let's go get it done. And then you all of a sudden see the grace of God saying, I want to help you avoid that crisis or that chaos or that bigger issue. Please listen to my voice. And so, you know, I'm just, again, I'm not making total, you know, this is the way it's going to happen. This isn't a theology we're talking about. This is just an observation in my own life. And I kind of recognized it in your story that, wow, God's grace to us to take care of the transmission part. Again, it's God's money. Well, he is actually interested in making sure that he gets what he needs to do as well, right? So anyways, just not to make a theology or just an observation to say, sometimes we need that push from the outside of someone else to get us going in a direction when we need to do that. So,
so important. So important. Because to be honest, everybody, I mean, if it weren't for these two, you provoked us. And, you know, 9 years ago, and we started on a whole new journey and live in a whole different area. So I think God brings us and could use us, even you guys in this podcast, to provoke us to say, maybe I need to follow up on that nudge.
So maybe instead, at the end of today, instead of jumping to the conclusion that God is holding out on us, maybe he is who he says he is and is the provider, and we can hang on to his truth and who Jesus is. So
maybe a little bit of homework is to just come to a place where you can say, Lord, where is the place you're nudging me right now? Mm-hmm. You know, where is the place where I need to pay attention to how you're...
And even in terms of your finances, because he is as practical as getting a transmission fixed. Yes. So, Ray, do you want to just pray us out today?
Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful, Lord. You reminded us, Reb read Isaiah 61, Lord. You were there in the midst of it. You made a way for us to walk into a complete freedom, Lord. Mm-hmm. No longer captive to our finances and debt load, but Father, to walk into freedom, Lord, to rise up out of the ashes. And so, Father, thank you for that. Help us to pay attention to those gentle nudges and to take new steps, even if they're painful. You provide the grace and the strength to do that. And I pray that for each one listening or viewing the video today, Lord, Father, would you bless them and speak to their hearts, Lord. Reveal yourself as the Father heart of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ray, Financial Discipleship Canada, for sponsoring today's show. Thank you for joining us in the conversation. And we do pray that you'll be blessed and you'll join us next time when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.